You've heard us say it before. You'll hear us say it again. You're gonna have to document the system of procedures in your business if you want to grow your company. So we've talked about it at length. You've probably muted us at times because I know that we get onto you guys and we talk about it and we talk about the benefits and the whys behind the SOP. But what we haven't quite done yet is actually go through the how, the process, what you're documenting, what it looks like. And so this is what today's episode is going to be all about. And before you say, oh no, I don't want to do that, please let us reiterate to you that your company is only as durable and as resilient and as strong and as long lasting as your documentation. So if you really want to succeed in business, and we know you do because that's why you're here, that's what For Designer Business is for, please come along with us on this ride today as we talk to you about your SOPs.
If you want people to do things the way you want them to do it and not have to repeat yourself a million times throughout the entire lifespan of you working in your business, you will do the necessary evil of documenting even when it feels unnecessary. That's when you're doing it. It's light work, light, consistent work towards this end goal of you having an entire business documented from start of inquiry all the way through requesting that review and getting photography and archiving that project top to bottom. It's a lot. Where you're at in your process, oof, you know, you'll figure out your timeline as we go through this. But I think we should talk about someone who's listening, who's not even at the point to needing an assistant. It's just still me and myself. If I was going to learn a lesson of what I know now, what I would be focusing on inside of this SOP is all the templates, which is just one tiny little crumb, literally, that lives inside the SOP as a linked document. But all of the templates, whether that be email templates, and you yourself stop reinventing the wheel every single time you talk to a new client. Go backwards, find one you like, edit it back to a template. Or it's your presentation templates, so that when you get to the point where you need support and you can lead the sourcing and you have this templated visual deliverable that is like a generator, allows someone to always spit out a deliverable looking exactly as you like, or an FF&E spreadsheet that's all templated in the way you like, ultimately lensing in on every client facing something has some form of a structure and a template. That's where I would start. Step one. And if you're listening, you're getting wildly ahead by just focusing on collecting that for you first.
100%. And here's the thing. When Shane is like, let me teach you a lesson of what I know. Here's something about us. We often learn our lessons the hard way.
The hardest way. The hardest way. Also, I'm just hard-headed. My husband would love listening to this. Oh my God. I'm just stubborn. So like I've had many people in my life also tell me what I need to do. And it just didn't kind of lock in for whatever they were saying. Maybe it didn't align appropriately with my growth marker. That's why I kind of wanted to start from the beginning. And then I challenged that. I'm like, you're dumb. You know, like
7 years later, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to that. So we've learned our lessons the hard way, and we're here to help you learn them. I'm not going to say the easy way, what's easy in business, but learn them in the most streamlined way possible. And if you're creating your templates and organizing your templates at or near the beginning of your journey, hallelujah, you skipped a big learning curve. Congrats, and you're welcome.
100%. Basic systems and basic templates need to be carved out.
Yep.
That's going to look differently if you didn't do that and you're underwater and, oh my God, I need an assistant. If you're at that point, you're like, well, I don't have that. And you're saying that's step one. Don't panic. We're going to shortcut it. We'll kind of go to the processes first that you're looking for in support. So let's go back to the presentation board. How are you doing your boards? Where's the technology? What's the login? Give us some examples, right? An example can scrape out a template or at least guide someone in the direction. And yes, your strategy would be a little bit differently focused on really developing the how-tos and the step-by-step, which definitely Evelyn is going to explain how this SOP is structured and broken down, because I will also say it is not my strength to communicate in the very specific steps. Like, this system of procedure isn't a fluffy document. It's a tool that you want someone to be able to independently go follow the steps with examples and video links. And even though it would take them a little bit longer because they're needing to use the textbook as they're taking the quiz, they're still getting 100% on the quiz. In theory, I always was like, for an open test exam, how could someone not get 100%? Maybe because you have to find the time, there's like a little bit more in that. This is not even that. It's like follow in list order and execute as you're going. So it's only going to slow them down. They're going to get to the point where it's 100% successful. And that's probably the best lens that your end goal is taking you. Getting someone else whose eyes haven't been on this thing so that they can go through the steps and be like, wait, what? What do I do from here?
Yeah, let's talk good, better, best. In my opinion, good is like, I did something. Hey, good job. I'll take it. Better and then best. Good could literally look like a checklist. When I am onboarding a new client, here are the steps that I do in a numbered order that I want them done. It's a checklist. You might not have the logins. You might not have the details, but that assistant could at least know their priority list of what needs to get done, know what critical questions to ask you. Hey, is there an email template for this? Do you want me to write one? They could get you to 50% with a checklist. Next is, we're layering in the templates. If it says send email, now there's a little link where your email template is, or a subject line. They can search in your inbox because you know you've sent it before. There's something there. Then as we're moving towards best, it's the actual textbook of how to get it done. Go to this inbox from this specific company email. Login is here. Send this email with this subject line, with this body copy. And I would say if we're doing best, 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 not for sending an email, we don't need to, you know, completely dummy-proof this thing. But for a lot of your steps, a quick video screen recording will tell them more than 10 pages of documentation ever could. Here's exactly how it's done in-house. It's up here at the top right. Click this. Don't forget to add the client address to the invoice. Use this template and send. They can document from that. They can watch it on 2x speed, know exactly what they're doing, and fill in the documentation of that SOP from there. So even if it's just the next time you run a project, every single thing that you do, do a screen recording of it and go pop it into your checklist in the good list. That is the starting point of an SOP that someone else can build for you, so that if you're like Shayna and writing out those steps is never going to be your secret sauce that you're great at. What you are great at is doing all the things that you've been doing that's made your business successful. Just screen record it.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say here that this is getting developed in like a Word document.
Mm-hmm.
Not straight to technology, where we've said this time and time again, you build your foundation in hard copy, build your textbook. Once you even write your first draft of that textbook, you will be editing on loops, especially as you grow and evolve. I'm not saying you cannot use technology whatsoever. I'm saying your system of procedures should not live inside of technology. They should be developed externally like a textbook, and then lead to technology that can support it. And there's many purposes of the system of procedure. Protection of overturn. Someone leaves you, someone can come in, train for 2 weeks, realistically a week independently without you, by reading, reviewing, watching videos, start to get integrated, move slower throughout the course of that first month because they have documentation to point to. Typically on your first transition, that's where you'll find the gaps in your written process, because you'll find like, oh wait, this person always also Slacked me and emailed me. And I love that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. First, you're writing your checklist, but think about this. What your SOP used to say was, and then go send that email. Now that you have an assistant, you want them to then confirm with you that that email was sent or CC you on that email. There's a whole nother little version of an extra layer for approvals, for telling you what's been done, for checking in with you or how you want to be looped into that conversation, when to bring something to you. So the checklist is the start. The screen recordings are next. As someone comes in to watch those, reinterpret those, document those, and add on how they can make it most successful now that you're working as a team, now your team will change, hopefully through growth, but also through overturn. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I want to share a story. It's someone else's story that we are a part of, but a situation of a growing team, their system of procedures were locked into a technology. And as a result, new people got brought onto the team. Some people were transitioned off of the team, a very busy time inside of the company. And because of the lack of written system of procedures and the way that the SOPs were connected to the technology, massive problems. Invoicing went out without sales tax and proper markups. You would say, how? But it's easy to happen when you have a lot of people involved and things are moving quickly and you think the process is there. It's not. And there was nothing to lean to.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. I know I've said that before. Okay, but to who? When?
Where is it?
Where did that get put?
Now, what happens in this when you don't have, like, don't believe me, right? I always want to go on the other side. Don't believe me that the written documentation is the move. Well, in this very busy time, the new people involved were not trained into the technology. Assignments were still made to people who were not even currently on the team. And as people were being added to the team, a relook at the system of procedure to establish a hierarchy of management. Where does that support funnel up to? And who's the end person who's actually responsible for that was not made. We didn't return to a document. We didn't level it up for assuming management, and our systems and a technology made assignments to people. And to Evelyn's point in writing a system of procedure, I'm shocked you haven't brought this up. You should be making assignments as roles. So as opposed to in a technology where you have to make an assignment to an individual human, because that's how the technology works. You get the email notification, all the automations trigger. In a written SOP, there's no human. It's the roles. It's a design assistant, a procurement manager, or procurement assistant that eventually, if you're going to have additional assistance in, you need a manager, someone who can oversee.
Guys, I got her. I convinced her. Ha ha.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to shed light. It is the number one thing you don't want to invest your time into, writing your processes. Because when you get to the point of an assistant as well, you're just trying to get the human to work first. And I get that. You do want to get that human to work. It should follow up. Maybe there's some initial documentation of processes, which is what our assistant onboarding is. A very baseline initial documentation of what you plan to delegate. Nowhere near the weedy nature of fully being integrated into a process. It's itemized tasks. And here's how we want these itemized tasks to work. Not a full SOP. A full SOP is going to take you from, again, initial inquiry all the way through that initial sales close to your project kickoff, to your close, to fully archiving that project. Every single step.
Then we're going to build out to all of your business systems too. Your marketing stuff happening behind the scenes. Like, I'm going to use Shayna's exact example. If you broke your pelvis and you could not walk, and you could no longer be everything inside of your business, and someone had to step in and do it for you, how could they possibly? This is how.
And if you're looking at people and you're like, how does that team have 20 people and I'm struggling to delegate to one? This is it too. This is it. A way to onboard individuals successfully onto your team without having to put in the same amount of work every single time. Because that is just soul sucking.
Guys, at 40biz, we hire, train, manage, and develop a team so that you guys don't have to, right? So let us be the ones to tell you, hiring and training and managing is a full-time job you don't have time for. And you cannot be doing that each and every time. It will churn and burn, and it will burn you out, and you'll be exhausted, and your team won't retain because they don't feel like they're successful either. If you don't feel like they're successful, trust me, they don't feel like they're successful. This is how you do it.
And if you're saying to me, Shayna, I am so far underwater. Yes, I am someone who has a high overturn. I can't retain people being with me, but I simply don't have the time. Well, go find the time at 4 or 5 a.m. Either continue to live in the chaos or go find the time. excuses don't live in the morning. It is what it is. No one likes to wake up that early. I was just up this morning at 3:30 in the morning. No one likes to wake up that early. It's like working out. You feel great. 7:30 hits. You're like so accomplished in your day. And ultimately, all the time that you're stuck in the middle of the day working in your projects, you will refine time for yourself. You will refine time for your business early in the morning. It is what it is. Get it done. Either live in the chaos forever and never find the time to have the business foundation unless you're going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to say no to projects from now on and slow down. Yikes. You can make that decision. Or you're going to say, it is what it is. This is a short-lived venture. I'm going to do this with purpose. I'm going to wake up early. You might just find that you like it. You might just find that you like it.
You know what? Pre-kids, I would have been doing it at night. You can do it at night too. Hey, we don't need to prescribe your hours.
True that. Don't need to prescribe. But what I am going to say is your brain is way fresher in the morning to work on your business than having a huge, long day pouring into projects and people. And it's a lot. That might be you, all good, but I'm going to probably tell you that you should be waking up early doing your hardest brain work in the morning or the stuff you procrastinate. I currently right now edit. If you're working with me on the pricing model, I'll fix your contract. I honestly hate doing that contract. Hate it. Procrastinate it with everything in me. What did I tell my assistant? You're going to schedule me at 5 a.m. to do these because I've done one before at 5 a.m. It's the fastest, most efficient. We just get it done. I don't get like an hour in. And if I need a little bit more time, I got to hop into a meeting. It's just better. I hate doing them. So I'm going to do that as the number one first thing that I do in my day. Make some rules for yourself.
Yeah. So start with your checklist. That's good. Hey, good job for getting it on the board. Then I would say also this can feel very overwhelming because when you're like, okay, I have to document every single thing inside of my business from top to bottom. Holy, the paralysis of the empty page sometimes can be really crazy. So go in order of priority, and that priority could look different for you. Maybe it's, I know I want support soon. Okay, then what are the things you know you want off your plate first? Just start there. Do your screen recordings of all the stuff you can't stand or feel like you're not as strong at or just know tends to put you underwater, all the things you plan to delegate first. Great. Or maybe your priority is, okay, here's the things that haven't gone as well as I want them in the past. So let me spend my creative time to brainstorm this, to enhance it, to write down how I would want it to happen next time. This could be an enhancement on a previous version of a project. You could say, you know what? I'm a chronological person. My priority is to start at the top and get to the bottom, and I'm just gonna work on a page a day. So even how you plan to go about this could really look differently. Maybe it's, I'm gonna do all my checklists from 1 to 1,000, then I'm gonna come back and do my screen recordings. There's no right or wrong way except not doing it at all. That is the only thing that doesn't put you in the right direction.
Yeah, consistency. This is one of those things you should have scheduled to work on every single week. And if you don't have the time to commit to that consistently in some regard, then you need to be paying someone else to continue to develop it out. If you are at a point also, though, where you're just someone who needs to be given specific instruction, told what to do, then also we can support that. If you are that person, you're like, this is paralyzing. I know I need it. I don't know where to start, but you're willing to put in the work. All we need is 3 hours a month to support you. What that looks like is a monthly meeting, and it's with Samantha, who is phenomenal at these. Samantha's got some crazy superpowers, and this is one of them. She shines in this light.
Yes, she shines.
So she'll meet, you're either reviewing work that's been done, or you're creating the game plan with her, and she's helping you to understand what you need to execute every single week. You're executing inside of a week. She's got 30 minutes every single week to look on your progress, comment on the gaps, fix the formatting or whatever the case is going on, challenge your thinking. How would you do this? Or coach on how it's being written. This is too fluffy. We want it to look more so like this. She's got a template that you can start using, right? It starts off in a spreadsheet, shocker. And that spreadsheet helps you then translate over into a Word document. So if you're needing accountability, you're needing a little bit of coaching, you have time to get the work done, 3 hours of executive support a month, you meet with Samantha monthly, and every single week, you're chomping away at progress, and she's checking in, commenting, and enhancing that progress.
Or vice versa. I have limited time to put to this. Okay, we're doing a meeting where you're showcasing, or maybe you're just doing your screen recordings. That's the only time you're committing to this. And we're taking it to documentation from there to get it to the 97% mark so that you can put that 3% zhuzh on it to polish it off. So there's a spectrum of how hands-on or hands-off you want to be with this. But the answer, the only common denominator across all, is that it has to be on your radar. It has to be something you're consistently doing if you want to grow consistently over time.
Yeah, it's lesser stress if you build this out slowly over time. Even if you're at the point of needing assistance, get your humans to start working, then trail into your documentation and slowly, consistently every single week. If you're going to lead it, have your assistant also have at least an hour every single week to the document, maybe all the enhancements or ways that you said you wanted to do things. And you yourself also have to consistently work inside that and lead that and be the one who's calling out the gaps or refining how it's written so it is really an instructional guide as opposed to like this written paragraph storytelling text. And where you are is going to determine this. So a lot of times we're needing these things and we're finding out this information after the fact. So we can sprint through if you're at that place. A couple sprints that are common is maternity leave sprint. You've got someone who, oh my God, even if you got a commitment, like I knew they were going to stay 5 years, but they got pregnant. There are often sprints because even if you're needing temporary support, a temp is going to need a system and a process. So we might have a 1 or 2 month sprint that's like, we are moving full speed ahead and you're taking meetings and we've got assistants documenting, our assistants documenting, Samantha editing format, and we are flying. That can also happen for transitions. If you had someone who put in a notice with you and you came to us, we would highly recommend, especially if those systems were working well, that we are dumping these processes as fast as we can to try and shortcut as much as possible to feed the new assistant some type of training document. Help them succeed. No one's going to just be able to take your brain. Very rare for someone to be able to have ESP.
I know. And people come to us and say, well, I just want someone experienced. Okay, great. Yes, agree. Of course you do. They're not experienced in your process. All the experience in the world does not help someone read your mind. Even if they say, oh yeah, I've used Programma. There are different ways that people use these things. Like, we hear a lot of very unrealistic expectations in this area as well. And so let us just be the ones to say, your system of procedures will not look the exact same as any other businesses. So all the experience in the world is not pre-training to join your company and succeed.
Also, your system of procedure ensures that it is them and that you're not placing blame in the wrong direction. And that's your protection. You grow big, you have HR, right? That's where, quote unquote, HR, we can have those critical conversations that gives you a 3 strikes, you're out policy. If it's written, it's trained, they've been provided it, then yes, there is absolutely no excuse. And if you're sitting here listening, be like, oh, I've overturned a lot of people, I've been in this game for a while, and like maybe I did find it at some point with someone and not another, we're building the business wrong. You're not building a sellable business. You're just putting some random support around you and having some falsified expectations of how they're going to support you. And you're probably working way more hours than you should, and you're on the hamster wheel and you're very reactive because stress, weight of the world, layers. You can't react to the clients. You got to control your emotions over there. It is a lot. But realistically, a business is built around a system of processes, an SOP. It's not built around the human, which is why Evelyn will say, when you're documenting that process, we're not putting the person's name in the process. What is their role? What do they do? Now, they might be a lot of things. You might just have assistant, right? You might be writing a process that is literally like owner assistant. And that's why you're going to loop through the SOP. You're going to get through it. You're going to do your first draft. You might have written the foundation of the chapters, but now you need all the subtext that's going to go with that as you start carving out a procurement manager, carving out a senior designer, carving out an operational assistant. your main roles, now you're going to develop those. And then those roles might get assistance. And the division of this happens a few times. The microorganism of this company keeps growing and evolving out. And once that full foundation of you've got an owner, you've got a mid-level management team, and beneath that, those mid-level managers have assistants. Now you have a system of procedure that is done, fully done. Might have just a little enhancements here or there, but it is done. And then you have lesser time involved, which is a long journey, you know? But again, I've said this a million times. It's why people buy franchise. You have to invest in building your business. This is a low overhead company. If you don't have a retail store, odds are you don't need an office space. It's a luxury to have one. You don't need one. You can bring the store to the door and have a home office and order the samples and bring the samples. You don't need all of that. You have put not much money in to open and start this business. And the first year, because it's just you at minimum, that's why money feels so great, because you're not investing into anything. You're just like, oh my God, can I make this thing? Can I support myself consistently? You're really just proving to yourself. Then as money starts coming in, then we have to start investing in the company. And that's not fun.
Yep. Feels like a step backwards. Even though it's a step forwards, it feels like a step backwards. But listen to what Shayna said. It's a low investment business. It's not a no investment business.
It's not a no investment business. You have to invest. Now, knowing what to invest in is where a lot of noise is. I feel like that's where people waste money. I mean, we've wasted tons of let's just not calculate. Too much money.
Learning our lessons the hard way, remember?
Yeah. And that's the cost of doing business. Another owner once said to me when I kind of shared, I think at that point, it was like maybe $30,000 in total of like, oh no, if I really calculated like those, it was probably like $60,000 in total. Either way, regardless, I threw out a number and he's like, that's not that bad. I was like, what the?
Felt like a massive failure to Shay at the time.
It felt massive at the time, whatever number that was at the time. And he was just like, that's not huge at all. More to come. You know, he's like, more to come. So our goal here at 4DBiz is really to help you become the successful business owner informed by all of our failures and try to guide you away from the noise and help you understand where you are and what we need to focus on. You're not just quite ready for assistance. You should still be focusing on a pricing tool. You should be still roughly be managing your tasks, which is loosely just a to-do list for yourself. And you should be focusing on creation of templates. If we were doing this in a perfect world, you were climbing and get consistently busy. You are starting to write those processes out with thinking through there's one assistant here and where am I going to layer them in? And then really just focusing on the how-tos of the assistant. That's how you shortcut yourself. If you start from the top, it's a lot of time. One specific process can take up to 6 hours to document. And even when we have system of procedures that are templated, you're like, oh, we come work with you. We think it should be a shortcut. Don't you guys just have one to give to me? First of all, we've got like 16 different ones for invoicing softwares and the how you use your invoicing software. Do you use all the features? Do you use some of the features?
Yeah. Or I know at least one person has thought, oh, I'll have AI do it.
People, ChatGPT, I'm going to tell you something. Shaking my head, okay? It's not even calculating math correctly, and we're trusting it to make decisions, okay? I love it for some shortcuts. I am so for AI, I am not against it. But there is a line in which it works for us.
Don't ask it to think critically for you, please.
Yeah, I don't want to hear because ChatGPT told me to. Woo, don't do it. Don't do it to me. I haven't learned how to control that reaction yet.
Especially in a document like this that really is so central to everything you've got going on and how it's going to develop along with you. You know that we believe to our core, we know how important it is. You know that we're laying on you all the time about the whys, but hopefully this gave you a little bit of insight too into the hows. How do you get started? How do you keep it going? What is expected of you throughout the process? And don't forget, we're always here for you.
100%. So let's review. Your business is only as durable and long-lasting as your documentation. Today, we walked you through good, better, and best. A checklist is good. A checklist with templates and screen recordings is better. A full step-by-step textbook someone can follow independently without you in the room, that's the best. And now you know exactly how to get there.
The reason your team is not executing the way you want them to, and the reason overturn feels so catastrophic, is not because you hired the wrong people. It's because the system of procedure wasn't there to catch them. Experience does not replace documentation. No one can read your mind, but a written process with a screen recording and a linked template gives them everything they need to succeed without you having to say it twice.
So here's your challenge this week. Pick one process and start documenting. Start with a template if you're just getting going. A screen recording of the next project task if you already have an assistant. There is no perfect starting point, just get started.
And if you're the person who knows this needs to happen but keeps finding every reason not to start, you're exactly who we built our executive partnership program for. You bring the willingness to work. We bring Samantha. She will build the game plan, hold you accountable week over week, and make sure what you're building is actually a document someone can use. Not a paragraph, a process. Schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com or click the link in the show notes to get started.
If today's episode gave you the kick you needed, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. New episodes drop every Tuesday, and be sure to send us your anonymous voicemails at fordesignerbusiness.com. Maybe you're drowning in overturn and can't figure out why. Maybe you know your SOPs are a mess, but you don't even know where to begin. Maybe you've been saying you'll start documenting for months and it still hasn't happened. Whatever your question is, send it in and you just might get free coaching on a future episode.
Listen, the designers who end up building successful businesses are the ones that did the boring foundational work before it felt urgent, before the chaos hit. So start the checklist, do the screen recording, and build the textbook. Your future self is counting on you. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Let's get it, babes.